Good morning. Take your Bible and join me, please, as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. It's a little awkward because I can't see you, but I am glad you're here, glad you're listening. For the sake of keeping things together in my head, as it were, in my imagination, we're sitting maybe across the table from one another, in the same room. I'm talking to you. I'm not preaching in a microphone. I'm not preaching to a crowd of people. I'm just talking to you. And that's why you'll find this broadcast tends to be a little more low-key. I'm not screaming and pounding the pulpit. I'm not hammering and hollering and carrying on. I want to talk about the Bible. I want you to understand what the Bible has to say. And for that reason, these programs are not so much preaching as they are teaching. I hope you understand the difference, okay? If you were to attend a service at Calvary Bible Church, where I pastor, you would find it's a good deal more variety in the dynamics. And preaching is preaching. This is teaching, okay? Now, as we move on down through chapter 10, let's begin with verse 31. We will have to look back at some preceding verses. And if you're joining us for the first time, I hope you'll just kind of hang on. I'll try to keep you up with this. Verse 31, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Now, in the context, you'll remember that here in chapter 10, as Paul is bringing to a conclusion this whole discussion of these three chapters, 8, 9, and 10, as he's bringing it to a conclusion, this section on what do you do? What about this problem of things sacrificed to idols? You had Christians who were eating stuff sacrificed to idols. You had Christians who would not touch the stuff because it had been sacrificed to idols. And both groups throwing stones at the other. "Well, it ain't no big deal. You can do it." "No, how can you eat that? That's blasphemy. That's sacrilege." And so there's a division in the church because of it. And as he comes down through this concluding chapter here, chapter 10, before he leaves this section, he's bringing it around to this. Earlier here in verse, go back please to verse 27, "If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice to idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Now, he's saying, look, I have been a recipient of the grace of God. And as such, I have liberty to eat these things, and it's no big deal. All right? But there are others who do not have a clear understanding of that, who see me do this, and they are offended. Not because, oh, he shouldn't do that, I don't like that, as much as it is, he ought not to do that. Doesn't he know that's been sacrificed to another god? He is guilty of sacrilege. And see, there's a difference there. Not just nitpicking. It's a matter of real conscience being offended. Now, you'll notice he sums it up in verse 31 like this, as far as the individual believer's responsibility. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Now, there's some things that a Christian can do that in and of themselves are not sinful. Nothing wrong with them. However, during the course of the participation of them, there's really no way that God's getting any glory out of it. For instance, How does God get glory out of... let's say you play golf. Now, I have beat a ball around a green a time or two myself. I don't care for the game. It takes more concentration than what I'm willing to give it. It costs too much to play, green fees and all the rest of that. To me, it's just not, it's not worth the money. On the other hand, I'm not going to throw rocks at somebody who says, oh man, I really like it, I enjoy it, I relax doing it. I can't. I don't relax playing golf. I get tense, I get irritable, I get crazy and frustrated. The game is not for me. But suppose you're one of these people, oh, I like to play golf. Okay. Now you go to the golf course, and you're playing, let's say you got a foursome, just put together there on the spot. Some guys want to play, and so, okay, yeah, sure, I'll play. Now, you're playing, and the other guy makes his shot, and it just doesn't go where he wants it, and he cusses. Oh, blank, 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 blank. When do you look at that? Now, for you to continue to play, or to have gotten into the situation in the first place with this fella, you're going to have to do something about that mouth. Now, you can't preach. Now, you shouldn't talk like that. That's taking the name of the Lord in vain. You can't do that. He's going to rip your face off, or laugh at you, or mock you, or tell you to butt out because it's a public place, and you're expecting him to live by your standards. And if he's unsaved, there's no way in the world you're going to be able to do that. You can't expect him to live Christian standards. Now, so what are you going to do? Well, I made a mistake. I shouldn't be playing with this guy, and you're going to beg off. Okay. Well, and good. But on the other hand, the guy's obviously not saved. What are you going to do? If you continue to play, the only justification you have for playing with this particular individual is to gain some opportunity to witness to him. Now, if you can do that, go ahead. You can say, well, you know, yeah, that was a pretty lousy shot. I've made a few of those, but you know, I never found swearing to really be that satisfactory in correcting it. Practice, yeah, but I don't care much for cussing. I'm not saying I'm, you know, going to pitch a fit, but I just want you to know I don't do it, and I don't appreciate it. Now, well, okay, maybe yes, maybe no. You have to be sensitive to the situation, but whatever you do needs to be done in such a way as to bring glory to God. Now, let's say there's something you want to, let's say you want to go fishing. Okay. All right. How in the world can you go fishing and say that glorifies God? Well, that depends on you. That depends on you. If you go fishing and you get all head up and stressed out because the fish aren't biting, and oh, you're frustrated and just carrying on, and you wind up going home bad, then you shouldn't have gone in the first place. But you get out there, you throw the line in, and you look around at the beauty of the creation God's given you, and you begin to think about the blessings that God has given you and that you enjoy, and you begin to praise the Lord. Now, I don't mean you cast and you whizz, splash, praise God, hallelujah. I don't necessarily mean that, but I mean the attitude is one of thanks to God. You're relaxing. Jesus told his disciples, come ye apart and rest a while. Recreation, recreation is necessary. Everybody has to do it from time to time. And what relaxes one person may not relax somebody else. There's some, I know, women will do needlepoint or knitting, something like that, make me crazy. I couldn't do that and say it was relaxing. On the other hand, sometimes I like to, you know, get out my wood carving tools and do some carving, and it takes my mind off situation. It relaxes me. Sometimes I may make some knives. I may grab a 22 and go out and do some target shooting. It's something to relax and unwind and allow the everyday stress to kind of bleed off for the glory of God. For the glory of God. There are things that you can do that other people say, I don't see how that brings glory to God. Explain it to them. For instance, I have a deacon in my church right now who I met years ago as a result of one of these trade swap shop type thing programs on the radio. And the family had announced they had a gun for sale. Well, I like guns. You may think that disqualifies me being taken seriously as a preacher, but I enjoy firearms. I like to shoot. I don't like to kill. I do hunt, but I hunt what I hunt. I hunt for the meat. I don't hunt for sport. I called the number they gave, and I said, look, I don't have the money, but would you be interested in the trade? And the lady said, well, I'd rather have the money, but you can talk to my husband. He'll probably trade with you. Well, that was my introduction to this family, this man. He didn't have much to say about preachers, and I didn't push that angle, but met him, talked with him. We talked it over, we made a trade, and everybody felt good about it, but I did it primarily because it left an open door. And later, when there was a problem in the family and they didn't know where to turn, the lady remembered that I'd been there, that I was a preacher. And so she called and she said, we're having this problem. Can you help with it? As it happened, I could and went. But you see, it was a means. It was a means. Whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God. You see, you can use almost anything as a means for witnessing, as long as it's not something that's non-scriptural. Now, he says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all for the glory of God. All these things here, the idea of eating or not eating, for the glory of God. So he winds up getting the praise. Well, I know my rights, and there's nothing wrong. Yes, but does God get glory out of you pitching a fit over about your rights? Whatsoever ye do, do all for the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. See, there's where he's going. That's the bottom line. That's how come he can keep a level head when other people are screaming, you can't do that, instead of flying into a rage, pitching a fit, saying, well, I'll have you know I can, so, and making a fit. He said, look, I want people to be saved. I want to be able to lead folks to the Lord, so I'm not going to go out of my way to pick a fight with the Jews. I'm not going to do something, go over here and get a big argument going with the Gentiles. And I'm not going to pick a fight with other folks in the church. I don't want to do it. Even as I please all men in all things. Now, you need to take that the way he says it, because Paul obviously is not saying I'm a yes man and everybody loves me because I don't make waves. I mean, I think Scripture is plain. I mean, people didn't care much for him. Times when he got stoned and left for dead. Times when he was beaten, thrown in jail. Not everybody liked him. But he was not a troublemaker in the sense that he was just being obnoxious with a chip on his shoulder. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit. It's not for me, but for the profit of many, that they may be saved. There's your objective, folks, to be used to the Lord to bring other people to Christ. Time's gone. Catch you on the next broadcast.